So today is May 31st. It's our last Sunday to look at John 3:16. And the outline on the back of your bulletin, I titled it, The Last Word on Life. Our series that we're doing in this quarter of the year is entitled Knowing God. And our goals in that series are to come to love God more and become God's friend. And we've spent the month of May in five Sundays looking at John 3:16 because the foundational truth is that you need to be born again to have that friendship with God. So we spent a significant amount of time looking at this verse. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Well, the last phrase that we're going to look at this morning is, "shall not perish but have eternal life." And I have 2 points on your outline. One is, what makes heaven heavenly? And the other one is, the last word on life. So we'll take a look at those scriptures. Here's a couple questions that I came up with that I'd like to answer. What makes heaven heavenly? Can you relate to eternal life? Do you have to wait until you're dead to experience eternal life? What about heaven? Do I have a clear view of that? And lastly, will heaven meet our expectations? So I'd like to take a few minutes and look at some of those questions. First of all, can we relate to eternal life? Can you, as a human, grasp a hold of, or as they say, wrap your head around, the fact of eternal life? A forever and ever, without a start, a nonstop, endless continuum. When I was a young man in high school, they drew a line on a board in a geography class and put arrows on both ends of it and said this number line goes to infinity in both directions, both positive and negative. And it was one of the first times that I really tried to wrap my head around the fact of something that went on forever. And this endless continuum is actually the life of God. So talk to me for a minute. Can you fathom eternity? Clarence said he can. He's probably lived long enough that maybe he's got a better idea at it. But it's a challenging concept. Huge. It's huge, Judy says. It never starts. It never ends. It's always. Everything that ever was, that ever is, all at the same instant. Forever. Kind of hard to fathom something like that, isn't it? But that's what God's created. When we, by God's grace and His love, enter into His life by being born again, we enter His eternal life. He takes us out of the lineage of Adam that was going to end up spiritually dead in hell and places us into His eternal life, and we begin to experience that. Now, do we have to wait till we're dead to experience eternal life? I know a lot of people who look forward to getting to heaven so they can have eternal life. Do you have to wait till you're dead to do that? Is it possible for you and I to enjoy eternal life, heaven life, now? Yeah. Yes, it is. It's possible for you and I to experience the life of God now. When we were young Christians up at the what we lovingly call the barn, Bill Gillum said, you know, heaven's really just a little less than an inch off the earth. You know, and you can experience heaven, eternal life, now. And that was a radical thought to me. And in my 30 years of life, I had never really considered that I could experience eternal life now and I don't have to wait till I'm dead. But the fact of the matter is, you can. It is available. So, how does one experience that? If it's available, how do you get into that? How do you enjoy that? It's really very simple. One must only surrender to it, period. Die to their self-life, their self-sufficiency, and allow His life to flow through them. When we stop living our life and allow God to live our life for us, through us, you actually get to experience it here on earth. Same way Jesus did. Same way Adam and Eve did before they fell. It's possible to experience that here and now. But the challenge for you and I is that in our culture, in our community that we live in, most people live by their own efforts and their own wisdom and their own sufficiency. They do it in their own strength rather than allowing God to do it for them. And I remember as a young Christian having this dialogue with God. It went something like this. Now, Lord, you gave me one life to live. Is that right? His response was, right. Now, what you want me to do is to give you, surrender to you, my one life, so I don't really get to live it. You get to live it through me, right? Right. But I only got this one shot. I only got this one chance, God. And it's my only chance to live my one life, but you don't want me to do that. You want to do it for me and through me, right? Right. And it went on and on, on and on. And it was difficult for me because I only have this one chance. And not do the one chance that I have. But let him do it for me and through me. How many of you have wrestled with that concept? Have you thought through, talked through, lived through that to where you stop living life and let him live it through you? It's a challenging thing, but that's when you begin to experience eternal life. Now, what about heaven? Do I have a clear view of it? Do you think you have a clear view of heaven? Do you think media and the movies have told you the true story about heaven? Do you see images of people walking in knee-high banks of clouds with disembodied friends and floating spirits and winged men sitting on clouds with harps? Do you think those are true images? No, I don't think they are in the least bit true. If you're expecting when you get to heaven to have worship service being three songs, an offering, and a sermon, and a closing prayer, and a hymn, forget it. That by no means is a biblical view of what heaven and worship is going to be like. It's going to be more like the greatest movie theater with the wildest surround sound that you've ever seen and the most genuine, authentic, real, heart-wrenching, passionate worship that you can ever imagine. But it'll be more like a movie, a grand movie with heroes and villains and music that'll just move you beyond any movie experience. But that's more what I think it's going to be like than here. When some of us love to watch these great movies, like when you saw Moses on the front of there, you know, I still watch Ten Commandments when it comes on every year. And my wife and the girls that I live with, don't you know that story by now? How many years have you watched? But I still love it, you know, and I love to watch the majesty that they put into that movie years ago and are awed by the effects of it. But it's probably more like that than what we do. And if I could figure out how to do it more like that, we'd probably do it more like that. Maybe when I come back from National Conference, I'll have some practical ways to do that. But we probably don't have a real clear image of what heaven's like based on what we've seen. Could you agree with that? It's probably not true. Now, will heaven meet our expectations? Have you seen some of these things where the guys are bored, sitting on the cloud, you know? You know, have you ever seen those? Will it meet our expectations? Here's a Bible verse from John 14, 1 through 3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would not have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I'll come back and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. So when Jesus came to earth, he took the same profession as my father, a carpenter. And he spent his life building. And when he left here, he said, I'm going to go build a place for you. And some of you may be like me and think, well, good grief, it's been 2,000 years. Are you still working on it? And when we think about heaven, the Bible talks about heaven in a lot of realms. There's more imagery of heaven than what I'm going to cover. What I'm going to do is take a few minutes and just look at the New Jerusalem, God's crowning jewel, because this is where we're going to live. Those of us who are born again get to live in this New Jerusalem. In Revelation 21:2, it says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. It was coming down from heaven of God, from God. So we're just going to take a few minutes and just look at this one part of heaven. There is places of the holiest of holies, and there's other places in heaven that we're not going to talk about. But this is one of the interesting places. This is where we're going to get to live. It's a city that's 1,400 square miles. Can you wrap your head around a city that's 1,400 miles? That's 40 times the size of England. It's 10 times the size of France. And this city is larger than the country of India. Now, that might take a couple days to build. Now, it's a city so large that it would contain all of the landmass. If you started at the Appalachians on the East Coast and went all the way to Wayne's house in California, all the way from Canada down to Mexico, that's how big this city is where you and I are going to live. Pretty good sized. And when you read Revelations, the materials used in that are amazing. Now, that's just the ground floor. That's just... Well, you got a couple more days to change your opinion. Now, in December, I took Julie into Chicago for our wedding anniversary, and we had dinner in the signature room. In the signature room, which is on the 95th floor of the John Hancock building. And we sit up there, and we happen to be facing to the north, and Wrigley Field was all lit up because they were making a hockey rink on it. But you could see, it was a clear night, you could see, you know, almost to Wisconsin. And it was amazing. And then we got up and looked around. And we looked off to the south, which was the majority of the lit-up city. But we were on the 95th floor. And we enjoyed a beautiful dinner up there. But when you think about this city of Jerusalem, this city is as tall as it is wide. It's square. So this place will have 600,000 stories high. Over 500,000 stories tall. Can you wrap your head around that? As tall... Do what? No, I don't think they have them. Yeah, but just this one part of what the Bible talks about heaven. I mean, that's an amazing thing of gold and jasper and diamonds and an incredible place. I think it'll go beyond our expectations. So Jesus is preparing a place for those of us who are born again. Now, this is a perfect place with perfected people overseen by a perfect Lord. So when we get here, the elements of the curse of sin won't come along with us. The aches and the pains and the arthritis and the cancer and all of that stuff that we deal with now, those don't get to come. We have perfected bodies and we're perfected people and it's overseen by a perfect Lord. So as I try to imagine this place, I mean, there'll actually be aborted children who will run up and greet the mothers that aborted them and hug them and love them. There will be soldier boys who embrace the sniper who killed them. There will be children who were abused to death who will greet their repentant parent with a loving embrace. And I could go on and on and on about the amazing events that will happen. Julie has a necklace on around her neck of all of our children. And the only time I ever got to carry Maggie was to carry her to her grave. But I am quite confident that when I come to heaven, she's going to come greet me and rag on me. Why did you wait so long to get here? It's so wonderful. Come with me. I've got things to show you. And I'm pretty certain that if anybody gets to lead me into the throne of grace to visit my Savior, it's my daughter that I never got to know. But there's amazing things that will happen in heaven forever, which will be a whole lot of fun. At the right time, He'll come take you home. Now, the question is, are you ready to go? Have you been born again? As Jesus sat down with Nicodemus and said, Nick, if you want to get into heaven, you've got to be born again. You've got to believe in me, the one who was put on the cross and lifted up like a serpent. Have you made that transition out of Adam and into Christ? Now, here's the second point on our outline, the last word on life. Jesus uses the word Zoe, the Greek word for life, which is the life that God has. Now, we're much more familiar with bios, its sibling term, which has to do with life extensive. Zoe is life intensive. We spend more time in the biological aspects of life and thinking of extending our life. The only reason that I went through the bone marrow transplant and the chemotherapy was so that I could live longer at a better quality of life. That's bios life. That's not Zoe life. Now, the Zoe life is an intensive life. Jesus talked less about life and its duration and more about its quality, vitality, energy, and fulfillment. See, we live in a culture that tells us that the bios life is better. The more you have and the longer you get to live, that's the key. That's what the world is telling us. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not it. What I want you to experience is my life, which is a life of vitality. It's actually possible to be restored and renewed by God's life and do amazing things and have energy beyond your normal realms. So, you'll love the way God achieves this. He reconnects your soul to God. Adam and Eve gave up this life, and God now has entrusted it to us. Don't miss the invisible inward miracle triggered by your belief. God reinstates us to a Garden of Eden status. What does that mean? What Adam and Eve did, now we get to do. The flagship family walked with God. We can do that. We can do that now in our lives when we experience eternal life, the same way Adam and Eve did. Now they heard God's voice. So can we. I told you last week that a really good movie to rent was Faith Like Potatoes. Remember that one, Faith Like Potatoes? There's a really good movie that's produced. It's all about this guy's life who was changed and transformed. And then at the end of that, there's clips that you can watch. So we watched the actual guy explain what the actors did to portray him. And he talked about hearing God's voice. And he said, now I've heard God's voice a number of times, but it's never an audible voice. It's never a bios voice. It's not audible. You hear it in your spirit. And he said most people who've ever seen and heard God's voice, that's the last thing they ever do. Because if you experience God in that presence, it's probably the end. But you can hear him. Now, they walk naked and unashamed. My wife turned off the light in our walk-in closet this morning, and I was standing there without a stitch on, and I said, do you think I should go to church this way? She turned the light back on and she says, no, you probably better cover it up. But they walk naked with God, unashamed. You and I can live a life where we are transparent and unafraid. We can live that shameless life of expressing what's truly honest and not be ashamed. It's an amazing thing. So there's millions of people who read John 3:16, but there's only a handful who trust it. Your prayer doesn't need to be eloquent, just honest. This is one that Max Lucado wrote. It says, Father, I believe you love the world, period. You gave your one and only Son so that I can live forever with you. Apart from you, I die. With you, I live. I choose life. I choose you. There is this practical statement where you and I become born again. Now, if you're not sure that you've told them, then you haven't. Click. You can't get on board a ship and not know it. And once you're on board, you can't hide it. Christ followers go public with their belief. So, don't keep your choice a secret. Here's the point of us spending a month on John 3:16. We need to have this foundational cornerstone in our life. You must be born again if you want to get to see this beautiful Jerusalem. And I didn't even get into the temple and the tabernacle and everything that's a part of this. It's an amazing thing that you don't want to miss. Last Sunday, we talked about hell. Those are really the two choices. You can either choose to not believe in Jesus and experience life in hell, or you can choose to accept this free gift of God's love and grace and spend eternity with Him in heaven. It's really your call. But in our wanting to develop a relationship and get to know God better, you've got to get that cornerstone in place. So if you don't have that, take the time to talk to me or Marty or Julie or Denise or Don, somebody who understands how to explain that to you, and we'll do that.